This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight on the Shepherd's Call. Call a friend and tell them we're on the network tonight. And we will be on also on United Patriot Radio at frequency 6900 at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Captain Steve Anderson's network worldwide shortwave. So call a friend. This is Pastor Buddy. You can call me tonight after the radio show at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me simply by addressing your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee 37824. Well, we got an interesting show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to part two in this series of the Battle of the Beast. Now, we are using the word plural when it comes to beasts. We proved to you last night from the scriptures that there was beast powers. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, heaven was looked into, and the throne was a sea of glass, according to the sixth verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And there was four beasts full of eyes before him behind. So then we've got a beast of righteousness, and then we've got a beast of evil. Now we believe that the beast of righteousness is Yahweh, and the beast of corruption and evil is Satan, the number two angel in the network of Elohim, as they fight for position. And they vow for superiority upon the earth. And we're going to start, ladies and gentlemen, in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelations to begin our second part of the Battle of the Beast tonight. And we're going to start at the 15th verse. Behold, as I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Well, now what kind of a garment do you suppose that he's talking about? Is it a natural garment? Of course not. We're talking about the spiritual garment of righteousness, or to be clothed with the truth of Yahweh. He said, I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth. Now, verse 16 is the compelling scripture that I would like to call to your attention, because we're going to talk about the battle of the beast tonight. And Revelation 16:16 says, and he, now we're talking about the evil power that will be ruling upon the earth. And the way I see it, in the scriptures, we are going to have the very presence of Satan himself manifest into his body, as he is flesh beings, according to Genesis chapter 6. These angels came down in the sixth chapter of Genesis, and they began to mate, and these are the fallen ones according to the book of Jude. As we read from the book of Jude, this is the scriptures that will tell you that these angels had power to mate or to bring offspring upon the earth. Now, listen as we read in verse 6 of Jude. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Well, what is the judgment of the great day? These are kept in chains, the Bible says. They left their habitation. They fell through transgression, and Satan led the rebellion from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about a spiritual mist that floats in the air. Satan is more than just a mist floating in the air. Now, how can he be that? Simply because nowhere in Scripture can you identify Satan as a spirit. Now, you can identify devils as spirits of the devils, plural, meaning many. And that holds true with the other side, the spirits of the good ones, or the Elohim, which Strong's number 430 will indicate that when the word God in a single, you see, we have been led to believe in a single God. Well, that's not so, because the Bible says that God is a spirit. And so then, God, Yahweh, as we teach Him and preach Him, He is in all of His children tonight. So when the Godhead bodily is looked into, we see the faces of many Elohim gathered together as the ruling mighty ones, and these are they that fought for superiority in heaven. Now, the battle's already been fought in heaven, as we shall see. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Right there is the key to these creatures that fell from heaven. They exercise the works of Cain. Now, Cain's seed is the physical manifestation of that mighty angel, Satan. Now, there are other angels that mated and brought forth seed, and these also have become the evil ones or the fallen ones, and these angels that sinned were kept in a distant planet. The Bible says, as we study this series this week, we will continue. I'll get into the mystery of the thousand-year reign in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. I will explain it to you in detail. As Enoch in the 14th verse of Jude says, from prophesied, saying, behold, Yahweh comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the murmurers. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got many murmurers, many complainers, walking after their own lust and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, these are they that are separate or sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, what are we going to do here by the Spirit of Yahweh? Well, we're going to prove emphatically that the beast power is a name that is embedded into your consciousness or your subconsciousness. As you support these false names, you become a victim of taking the mark of the beast. Now, we teach that this mark can be reversed. You can blot out this name that is false, this religious false system, or this civil system that so many people fear. We're going to tell you that Satan will gather his forces in the last battle. Now, this is the climax. This could be hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years. Who knows the time of the earth? For they will begin to say, where is the promise of his coming? As we read in the book of Peter, the promises that our Heavenly Father gave us. Now, let us go down to the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to start at the third chapter. And we're going to start in the third verse, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. We've got them, ladies and gentlemen, wall to wall, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this now, they are willingly ignorant. By the word of Elohim, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We believe that the flood was a localized event upon the seed of Adam. Noah, the only one that was plucked from the midst of the Adamic race and preserved and saved. The flood didn't cover the whole earth. Here it says so in the fifth chapter, or the fifth verse of the third chapter. It says the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. Now, it's almost an impossibility to conceive that the flood was worldwide and covered the earth as a globe, and then the waters, just the weight factor, ladies and gentlemen, would have crushed the earth in a scientific manner. It's utterly impossible. And so then the first world perished in a flood. We're talking about the seed of Jacob, and that's the seed that we're concerned with tonight, the only ones that has eternal life dwelling in them. Therefore, by the word then that was being overflowed, the world then that was being overflowed with water perished. Now remember, it says, standing in the water and out of the water. It perished, and it destroyed the camp of the Adamites. And here we go, there was a preservation of the seed through Noah and the eight souls. Eight is a new beginning. Water baptism, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, as we read about water baptism, which we believe is the seal of closing the door on the mark of the beast. Now, notice as we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, the subject here now becomes Spirit, by the Spirit, he also went and preached unto the spirits, plural, in prison. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a message right there within a message. And you need to write for our tape, what does water have to do with it? And you'll find out how to erase your sins and the name of the beast power, whatever false system you believed in prior to, except in the great, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh. This is the name that was spoken evil of the soul cause. This is the name that was hid. This is the name that was kept from you, and Lord and God and all these other Baal titles replaced it, praise Yahweh, 5,823 times the Father has stamped it in the Old Testament, over 1,000 times in the New Testament, which gives us a total of over 6,000, almost 7,000 times, approximately, that the great name of our Creator, Yahweh, is mentioned in the Bible. Now, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 68, and read verse 4. It says, praise him by his name, Yah. Now, only Yah, hallelujah, is the selected praise, which means praise ye Yahweh. That's who David praised. That's who all the ancient prophets, that's who ancient Israel praised. And now we have been subverted and become under subjection to false names, which is the mark of the beast. Anybody that has a mark in their forehead and in their hand is, through fornication, slept with strange gods. Now, that is fornication. We'll prove that to you as we go down to chapter 17. We're going to get into the great mystery here of the second part of our series in the Battle of the Beast. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vowels, and talk with me, saying, come up here. I will show you the judgment of a great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would understand the scriptures of the word, then we will understand how to interpret the scriptures. Notice this, in verse 15, as we drop down to the 15th verse, remember now, the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, in your mind, in your conscious physical mind, the carnal mind, you would imagine a woman sitting in the middle of the ocean and taking a bath in the waters. That's not exactly what this scripture is talking about. Notice this. In the 15th verse, it's self-explanatory. If we would read on and quit letting the bell box ministers dictate dictate to our mentality and vaccinating us against the truth. You see, they give us the vaccination of a lie, and we swallow a lie quicker than we swallow the truth. You see, the truth is bitter in the belly. But a lie goes down so good and so pleasant because the carnal man can comprehend it, and it seems right. And the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Draw you a line from the first verse of 17 Revelations to the 15th verse. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the horse sits are peoples. So you've got to apply the divine principles of the interpretation of the word. The Bible said, search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. So this is peoples where the horse sits. So this whore system, this fornicating whore, that will bring in a false religion, and according to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelations, 14th verse, these are the spirits of devils. There you go. Now where can you read devil himself, singular, is a spirit. You see, Satan is a created being. Now, we know that angels are plural, ministering spirits, and so likewise the devils, the fallen ones, also have the power to dictate or to interfere with the conscious mind or the physical mind of man upon the earth in the third dimension. This is the third spirit. These are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to do battle on the great day of God Almighty. Every day somebody's in a great battle, a battle for their spiritual hereafter. Your very survival depends upon your obedience to the key of salvation, and Acts 4:11 and 12 is the key. Acts 2:38 is the door to enter in. Now, let me finish up in the scriptures that we're reading. In the scriptures here, as we go back to Peter, chapter 3, and verse 19, listen as I read to you, by which the Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, isn't it strange that this paradox here, that water saved eight and water destroyed literally perhaps millions? Remember now, he went and preached to the spirits that were disobedient in the days of Noah. Our Heavenly Father, what he done, he came down as a spirit being, and then he wrapped himself in a flesh body called the Son of God, walked upon this earth for 33 and one half years in the physical flesh realm, and taught us and brought us into a perfect union of understanding by imparting to us the Spirit that sets us free. Remember, I told you last night that the battle of the two beasts, these are, the mind is the beast power, the carnal mind and the subconscious mind or the spirit mind. These are the atoms that do war in your earth body every day. So war upon the earth in a physical setting, your carnal mind, which is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be, for the Spirit discerneth the deep things of the Heavenly Father. So you must have a spiritual imparting of the divine Holy Spirit. Many men and women have failed to go to the depth and the level and the comprehensional understanding of what the Spirit is all about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. This cloven means forked. This was flames of fire leaping from the head or the forehead of these that had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Notice they immediately went out and began to war with all of the evil power of the beast that was in their day. You say, buddy, was the beast power present in the time of the apostolic fathers? Well, of course course it was. Was there Antichrist in that day? Of course they were. Was people receiving the mark of the beast in that day? Of course they were. Every generation has its chance to receive or to reject the mark of the beast. You think that there's some kind of end time termination or a terminal setting where just a few upon the earth in the last day will suffer the wrath of the beast. Ladies and gentlemen, the beast is your carnal mind. And the spirit man is begging you to let him out of the prison that he's kept in. Remember, the Messiah went and preached to those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, and wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Now, get the 21st verse and you'll see how to escape the mark of the beast. The like figure whereunto even baptism, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to escape the wrath of the mark of the beast, then repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, as we go to this exciting text here, as we finish out the 21st verse of 1 Peter chapter 3. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You see, the carnal mind will remain there. But when you have the freedom, or when you free the subconscious mind, or the spirit mind, the deep mind within you, then you have power over the physical mind. The Bible says, when I would do good, evil's always present. Paul said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, that is, in my flesh body. But ladies and gentlemen, you have a power given within you to break through the veil of carnal understanding and comprehension to see your way clear to avoid or to miss the mark of the beast. Now, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of a good conscience toward our Father. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some good stuff for you coming back in the second half. You stay tuned with us because we're going to really pump up the volume and we're really going to set a fast pace for you in the second half as we get into the remainder of the 17th chapter and we're going to continue on the Battle of Beasts. We'll be right back. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. You stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. We're in a study tonight, and we're entitling this a two-part series here so far this week. We may go on into this. Looks like we'll probably have to continue the teaching series, and we might just bottom it out here in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation on the thousand-year reign. This is a great mystery, and we will conclude this series for you, probably in a five-set tape series. If you'd like to have it, just simply address your mail to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824, or you can telephone me here at area code 423-626-2172. Now, we're talking about the Battle of the Beast. We're in the third verse of the 17th chapter. And let me refresh your memory as we came down to the first verse. Come up hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Remember, waters are the peoples and the multitude. And if you look at the 15th verse, nations and tongues. Now this whore has made the inhabitants of the earth to drink or to get drunk with the wine of her. What is the world drunk on, ladies and gentlemen? We're not talking about alcohol here. We're talking about the intoxication of false religions. Not only one religion, but all religions that are false, that lead pathway to false gods. Remember David said, through thy precept or thy word, Holy Father, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. When you get to the precepts and understanding of who the true sheep of Jacob Israel is, and you know the truth, and you've got that name of the seal of the Almighty ever careful Yahweh in your forehead, you hate every false way. That shield of light the knowledge of protection. Remember, the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And so these that are carried away with the error of the wicked, Satan is out to deceive you, kill you, and destroy you. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight he has over 99% of the population of the earth eating out of his hand. We've got these trembling, nail-biting preachers. They call themselves preachers. Oh, they sound so good. They're so educated. They come out of the seminaries, which we would rather refer to as cemeteries. Their doctrine of demons, doctrine of the dead, and they are telling you that in some future sitting, there's going to be a beast power that's going to cause you to take a number into your pocket or into your skin, under your skin, an embedded chip. And all these are telling you to look out for the mark of the beast. When the mark of the beast is crept in unaware and has got people already in it. So look at verse 3. I'll show you that the mark of the beast is a name, or in this case, names of false gods. And ladies and gentlemen, please write me on 16 and 14, Revelation 16 and 14. If you will just read that, if you're listening to me tonight, read that. I saw the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the earth and to the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of Almighty. Verse 13, here's the key. I saw three unclean spirits. Write me for what those unclean spirits, those three unclean spirits or three unclean religions, for the name of those three unclean religions that have captivated and enslaved over 99% of the world's population. Did you know only 1% of the world's population is atheistic, meaning that they don't believe in a God? And yet we've got so many religions that believe everything but the truth, and yet they believe in a God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, there is many gods, and these religions incorporate the many gods. There's many lords. These religions incorporate lords. But only one true religion incorporates Yahweh. And that's Jacob Israel, the ones that stand for it. We're the most hated people upon the earth. The Bible said, all the earth shall hate you because of my name. Deuteronomy 22, or 28 and 10. And Deuteronomy 22, the scriptures are emphatic that we have to keep his commandments. In the 28th chapter, it says that they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh and be afraid of you. Every time a Yahweh preacher comes on, he's bracing with the truth that goes against the grain of tradition. Verse 3, here's the key. So he carried me away in the spirit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, he was in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full, this laden beast that everybody's fearing. And they think it's a chip, an embedded chip that the beast is going to raise up and control the earth, which it will. But ladies and gentlemen, let's face the facts. This beast power was here. We'll prove it in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. It was here when the Messiah was here. It was here before he was here. This beast power has been here ever since Satan and his angels were cast out and they came down to earth. And they have a diabolical plot to either rule the earth or to destroy it. My. Guess which one is going to happen? Praise Yahweh. Here it is, the key. The scarlet-colored beast having herself full, read it with me, of names, plural, of blasphemy. Having seven heads and 10 horns. This is the same beast power that made war with the Messiah and killed him. You mean this evil, corrupt beast power was killing the father of our religion, which is Yahwehism? Of course. You know why they killed him? Because he refused to take the name of false gods. You see, he could have become a fallen god by accepting the temptation of Satan when Satan said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. He was talking about the kingdoms of the world. Christ could have ruled the world kingdom. But he didn't. Praise Yahweh, he died in opposition to the beast power, and so the clash of the beast. the power, the superpower of Yahweh and the superpower of Satan clashed on the plains of the earth 2,000 years ago, and Yahweh Shua won the battle. Now it's up to you to win your battle. Every man shall be tried and tempted with the power and the influence and the deceit of the beast. He shall deceive the very elect. This scarlet-colored beast that sat upon the peoples of the earth was full of names of blasphemy. And she had abominations and filthiness of her fornication, meaning she didn't care which god she laid in the bed with. And verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name, there it is, written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. The name in her forehead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will, please understand that there is a final judgment for this great beast. If we turn to Revelation 22 and read verse 3, I would like to have time to read it all, but I can't. Let me hurry on here. And there shall be no more curse. This is after the final battle of Armageddon. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, those that didn't receive the mark, don't worry about a chip embedded in your skin or carrying a piece of paper in your pocket. That's not what Yahweh's talking about. It is the mark upon your heart and your spiritual man that has to be lifted through obedience of repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh to clear yourself of the mark of the beast. I'll prove to you, you have to have the name of Yahweh in your forehead. How do you get it in there? You need to call a doctor. You need to call a doctor that will tell you the cure for the mark of the beast. And it's not how to avoid a chip or a piece of plastic. Praise Yahweh. Verse 4. Revelation 22. I dare you to read it with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I challenge you. I challenge your intellect. I challenge your spiritual being to quit being caught up in this fear tactics of these bailbox preachers as they sell their wares of false doctrine that it is a mark, like a chip or a plastic card or a number system that you're going to have to carry around. The mark of the beast has been here, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a name, or names in this case, of blasphemy. Verse 4, these are the righteous ones that have the mark of the beast in their forehead. Did you know that you have to have a mark of the beast in your forehead? Yes, you do. You either have to have the good beast or the bad. I've done proof to you in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation that there were four beasts sitting upon the throne, and these four beasts was aligned perfectly in the zodiac of east, west, north, and south, and they ruled the 13 tribes of Israel. These are the cardinal points on your compass of understanding in your spiritual mind, if you will let me spiritualize it for you, and you must come out or get victory over the line. And the text in Revelations is very sure that you must get victory over this lion that has eaten alive all of the truth of Yahweh. Verse 4, 22, Revelations, I dare you to read it with me. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Listen to me. His name, whose name? There's many names of false gods. The whore had names full of blasphemy. Oh, if I was to tell you some of the names, you'd probably get mad at me and throw rocks at me. You see, we are the most hated prophets upon the earth. Why? Because we speak to you in the mighty, awesome, magnanimous name of Yahweh. 99% of you have never heard about the name of Yahweh. The ones that do reject it outright, and the ones that receive it are the ones that repent and are immersed in water baptism for the remission of their sins, moving in pardon, what that means. And then they're sealed in the great name of Yahweh, and the name of Yahweh is automatically emblazed into their spirit or into their spirit head. Verse 4, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. Praise Yahweh. If your understanding has been quickened by the revelation of who the true Elohim is, Yahweh, he said, I shall have no other gods before me. If you can come out of Babylon, that is the religion of false gods. Ladies and gentlemen, the mark of the beast has been here forever, succeeding generations from Nimrod, the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, and matter of fact, from Genesis 3:15, when the serpent seed began to multiply upon the earth, they started to formulate a beast system that would deny the true name of Yahweh. And they have done a great and outstanding job as they go forth to conquer and to rule over your mind. See, it's a battle of the mind. Of course, we've got civil powers that would like to do so. There is truth in this world unity that's coming. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the rest of the story that you won't hear on the headline news with Peter and with Dan and with the other guy. What's his name? On NBC, I can't think of his name. But anyway, that's what they do. They give you this misinformation. Here is the faith and the patience of the saints and them that keep the commandments of Yahweh. Yea, blessed are they that are that die in Yahweh. From henceforth, the second death will have no power. Notice this in Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and the Lamb stood on Mount Zion with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you get that name written in your forehead? That's the $64 question here in the Battle of the Beast here. Are you a member of some false religion? Did you know the name of Yahweh is the name given whereby that you can be saved and there's salvation in no other name? And if you haven't repented and been baptized in the name of Yahweh, you're under the mark of the beast or the influence of the power of the serpent. Oh, yes. Notice this. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. What is the mark? It's a name. A name of blasphemy. Now, it's not a number of a card system. That is the civil end of it. It is a spiritual name that you receive, falsehood. And we could go into some of the names. Did you know the name Jesus is a false name? Oh, man. I heard you grunt there when I hit you with that, praise Yahweh. You see, the name of Jesus is not even 500 years old. In 1611, King James had never heard of the name Jesus as we pronounce it today. Oh, you say it doesn't matter. God has many names. Well, you liar. You see, that's what you are. You're a liar and the truth ain't in you if you preach that God's got many names. That is stupid and asinine. How many names have you got, by the way? They say, I only got one. Well, how many do you think your Creator's got? The Bible says that he came to reveal the name, John 5:43, the Son. This is the mystery, ladies and gentlemen. And how to overcome the mark of the beast is to come out of her, my people. And the only way you can get out of her, ladies and gentlemen, is not hide in a cave somewhere where you won't have to be stamped with a mark or a number. But the only way you can come out of the spiritual Babylon is to receive the great, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, almighty name of Yahweh into your forehead, having his Father's name in their forehead. Having their Father's name in their forehead. How do you get that name in there, praise Yahweh? You get it in by water baptism. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, neither no candle, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh, Elohim, giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Praise Yahweh. That's the scriptures of truth and understanding and comprehension that don't let these lying prophets. They're like the foxes on the desert. Now they're really howling. Oh, you better watch out. Satan's going to cause you to take a number. Glory to God. And you're going to receive the mark if you take this little card they hand out. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest thing that they've handed out that is evil is money. Or the love of it. And most of these babbling preachers, these bringing jackasses like foxes on the desert, have their bank accounts stuffed full of that filthy lucre as they laugh all the way to the bank. You cry all the way to the poorhouse, and you're still deceived because you haven't repented of your sins and put the Father's name. What is the Father's name? Let's go now to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Listen as the scriptures reads, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized, this is Mark, I'll quote the remainder of Matthew just in a moment, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not and is baptized shall be damned.
You say, buddy, I just don't believe, glory to God, that baptism has anything to do with saving you.
Well, baptism saved Noah. Even baptism, even water baptism, the Messiah and John the Revelator, both of them came preaching the remission of sin through water baptism. And the only way you'll ever escape the mark of the beast is to take this great name in the burial chambers, representing the grave, and race to walk in newness of life, having your conscience free from the deceit of the evil beast powers and these brain jackasses. You know, I'd like to have a debate with about 100 of them, because it'd take 100 of them to keep, just warm me up in the scriptures that they misquote, misunderstand, or have no understanding in. They are ignorant, fearful themselves, deceived, and going about to deceive. It's time that the unjust remain unjust, and the filthy remain filthy, and the righteous run into the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower. John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. John 3:5, except you're born of water and spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a spiritual walk, and you got to go there by yourself. You got to die out to the carnal comprehensional understanding of the beast that's within you. Yes, it's in you, the carnal mind. The carnal mind is a beast. And you have to conquer this beast within you. Don't look for a outward beast power. It's in you. Paul said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for to wit, for the will, that when I would do good, evil's always present. When you try to understand this gospel, then the carnal mind will jump up and say, you'll yawn real big, take another drink of Budweiser, lay back on the couch and open up a sack of potato chips, and you'll get the munchy hunchies, and you'll get nervous, and you'll get stressed out, and you'll turn on the NFL, and you'll go straight to hell with all nations that forget Yahweh. That's the religious elite of today, Billy Ham Graham, Frank, better known as, and all these emissaries of the nations, of the kings of the earth, committing fornication with one another, sleeping in a bed with all these false gods. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Pastor Buddy, how do you live without somebody shooting you or somebody killing you? Well, let me tell you something. Fear not or love not your life unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. If Yahweh is for me, who can be against me? Yahweh's truth forever stands, and yea, let Yahweh be true. And every man a liar, and the nations of them which are saved. How do you get saved? Remember, Mark 16:16-18, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You've got to get baptized in the great name of the King to be saved. You say, oh, water baptism, I believe it's an inward work. Glory to God. How do you get the inward work without repenting? Yahweh won't dwell in an unclean temple. How do you get that temple washed and sanctified? Through water baptism. Water doth now save us, not to put away the filth of flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh. Yahweh came preaching water baptism. In the 3rd chapter of John, he preached and baptized more disciples than John did. The apostles went out, and they commanded, as they carried out his command of Matthew 28:19. Now we'll close it out here. I've got a couple of minutes here before I get on to my sponsors here, praise Yahweh, and tell you about them and what sponsored me tonight. You see, my hands and my mouth is opened through the sponsorship of three brave men that dare to back me in the ministry. They pay all my bills. I don't have to worry about how to come up with the money. So far, they've come up with every dime of the expenses of our radio show. We've got three men, plus Pastor Buddy has a few people, and I could give you names. It wouldn't take me long. I can count them probably on my fingers, of those that support me monthly in tithes and offering. That keeps me going here. Praise Yahweh.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. on this same station. Praise Yahweh.